Well, I could be cruel, and we had a men's club this morning, and Josh Lee gave a, because it's an option with the men that are giving speeches. It can be a speech, or it can be a sermonette, or however they want to do it. And Josh chose to give a sermonette, which was very good. And hopefully he will, down the road here, share it with the whole congregation. But it ties into what I want to speak about today. And there were a couple analogies that he used that I'm jealous of. I didn't think about them. And I can't steal them because he's right here in the room with me. So I'll have to pass. And he can share those with you later on. But a very, very good and helpful and informative message that he had this morning. But many people find the Bible confusing. Many people find the Bible confusing. They find it a challenge. And they keep searching so they can understand what message God is bringing to them. What's God telling us? How do I compute that? How do I look at the pages of this book and put it together to really get the true message that God is giving me? And even though the Bible has been the most popular selling book in the world for many years, it's also the most misunderstood book in man's history. It's confusing to many people. But is there a way for us to understand what the Bible really says? Can we look through these pages and begin to put it together and put a picture together, a story together, and take away from it that message that God is trying to convey to us? And any time we study God's Word, our attitude and our perspective must be right. We can't go into it in a bad, negative attitude. We can't study the Bible that way. We can't really study for anything that way. We have to have a right attitude. We have to have a right perspective. Why am I doing this? Why do I need to know what the Bible says? Why is that important to me? It doesn't make a difference. Somebody else will get up there and read it and tell me what it says, so why do I need to know? But we know that we have a job, a future job, that will require us to know what the Bible says and what the message that God is giving to us, what that message is, because we're going to have to pass that message on. We're going to have to pass that information on to other people and help them to begin to understand what the Bible says. Are there certain principles we should follow to help make our study successful? Well, sure there are. There's certain things we need to do. Are there study tools available that will help us? Absolutely. Can studying the Bible help us in our spiritual growth? We're all proof of that. We're all proof that it does. It helps us all grow as we gain knowledge, as we begin to understand scriptures. We grow in our knowledge of God and who He is, what His message really is. The more time we spend getting to know our Creator and the purpose He created us, we'll continue to grow. The time we put into this, and that was one of the analogies that Josh used that I'm not going to steal. He can explain that when you hear him give that message. But what's our goal here? What do we hope to achieve by being in God's church? Well, our goal, as we all know, is the kingdom of God, to be in the kingdom of God. But what are we willing to put into that to reach that goal? What are we willing to do to reach that goal? Is there anything more important than that in our life than to be in the kingdom of God? To one day when Jesus Christ returns and He says, good and faithful servant, come join me. Come join me. How do we do that if we don't study the word that God's given us? If we don't know what's in the Bible? Even if we're blessed with one of the brightest minds in the world, if we have an IQ that's outrageous, if we don't seek God's help to understand what's in this book, we may as well close it up. Because no matter how bright we are, no matter how smart we are, without God's help, through His Holy Spirit, these pages mean nothing. We can come to man's conclusion, but what does Scripture tell us? That's not God's conclusion. That's man's conclusion of what is being said here. So learning about and respecting God's law is an important key. And it helps us in our understanding. We have to understand there's certain things that God expects from us. There's guidelines that He's given us. Do we respect those? Do we adhere to those? Do we obey those? Because if we reject God's laws without proving that they're to be kept, without proving and understanding how important they are in our life and our future, there's no point in studying the Bible because it isn't going to get us anywhere. Millions of people all around the world keep man's traditions instead of keeping God's laws. They've closed their mind to something other than what they've always heard, what their parents told them, what religious leaders have told them. That's what they look to. They don't go anywhere past that. They're satisfied with that. They've closed their minds to that. They go along with the majority who they feel must be right. And I've heard this, and I'm sure you have too, for many people. How can so many people be wrong? How can so many people be wrong in what they believe? Can't be. Just can't be. So they go along with the majority of the people. Going along with the majority sometimes will get you in a big problem. So today, I want to talk about understanding your Bible and what we need to do to understand it. I was talking with a lady the other day who called, and she was asking about the church, and she asked me a couple questions. I had no clue what she was talking about. I was a little embarrassed. I really didn't know how to answer, so I just said, "Barb." No, I didn't. But that's what I felt like doing. But I really didn't answer her question, so I kind of skirted it in a way that I answered it, but not the way she asked it. But I thought, you know, I really need to look into this stuff. I really need to have the answers when people ask, especially new people like that. You know, if one of you ask, I'll say, well, you know what, I'll get back with you. Because you know me. You know I probably don't have the answer right away. But I'll get the answer. But with new people, they're searching, they're looking. And we should know those answers. We should have those answers that they're seeking. 2 Timothy 2:15. To begin to understand our Bible, we have to look at it. We have to spend time with it open, searching those scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent. Be diligent. Be steady to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. And I was really a little ashamed of myself when this lady asked me that question that I couldn't answer because I thought I should know that. Approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, how can we do that? Unless we study, unless we look at the Bible, asking God through His Holy Spirit to guide and direct our study, taking the time to study, how can we divide the word of truth? We can't. There's no way we can. We won't know how to do it. We won't know what's truth. We won't know what's fable if we don't study it. The only way we can do that is to study the Bible, separating truth from fiction. God helps us through our study of His Word to gain the right kind of knowledge. Not man's knowledge, but godly knowledge, godly wisdom, spiritual wisdom that stays with us, that's different completely than physical knowledge because it is something beyond the physical. It helps us to see through these pages and what's written on these pages that most people don't see because they don't have that spirit. They don't have that ability that God has given us, that God has blessed us with, to be able to see what God is really saying. Romans 3, if you turn there with me. Romans 3. Romans 3. And in verse 20. We have to know there's something going on. We have to know there's an enemy. We have to know there's a challenge. And in Romans 3 and verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. If we don't understand God's word, if we don't understand his commandments, his guidelines, how do we know we're breaking them? How do we know sin? How do we know our enemy? We have to study the scriptures. What is sin? Scripture tells us what sin is. What's God's law? Scripture tells us what God's law is. We have to divide the truth. We have to know what's right. We have to know what's wrong. And when we understand God's law, we understand what sin is. We begin to realize there's something here. There's something going on. And it doesn't matter who you are, sin has affected everyone's life in one way or the other. Everyone's. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It doesn't say some of you, a few of you. It says all. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we all need to understand what sin is. That it's an enemy. An enemy that will try to prevent us from learning God's truth. Try to keep us from taking time to study. Try to keep us away from our relationship with God. 2 Timothy, if you'd go back to 2 Timothy with me. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 16. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, a familiar scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Our instruction. That's what this book is. The inspired word of God for you and I to understand why we're here. What God is doing with us. What man's challenges are. Verse 17, that the man of God may be complete. May be complete. So we're completed by study, by understanding God's word, by putting our nose in this book, putting ourselves into it, studying for our reward, the kingdom of God, being ready. Making ourselves ready. Sin has caused problems, delays. But here it says, because some people today, some religions today, pick and choose what scriptures they want. What do they want to obey? What commandments do they want to obey? That's the ones they choose. What other scriptures do they want to obey? What other instruction, guidelines, direction do they want to obey? Pick and choose, but that's not what God says. It says here, all scripture is given, is inspired. Not the words that man has added over the years because they thought they were smarter than God and making up laws, making up the way they think man should live and man should do things, but God's word. God's inspired word. And if we don't take time to study and prove that the Bible is the very truth of God, we'll miss out on the most exciting adventure mankind will ever know. We'll miss it. We won't pass. We won't get that certificate saying, welcome to the kingdom of God. Because we wouldn't have studied. We wouldn't have understood what it takes to help us to grow spiritually. Romans 12, if you turn there with me. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Again, all of these are very familiar scriptures. Romans 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's put back on us. We should be willing to do that. We should be excited about doing that, to present ourselves a living sacrifice, to put God first. And in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. Prove. How do we prove it if we don't look? If we don't read it, if we don't research it, how do we prove it? What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? If we don't study the Bible, we don't know. We shrug our shoulders. We don't know. So we have to do that. Studying the Bible is a lifelong task. We've all heard of continuing education. Studying the Bible is just that, continuing education, a lifelong learning experience. We probably all seen some of these televangelists, and maybe we know somebody who can take scripture and just recite it. And just tell you, well, where's that in the Bible? Well, it's here, it's here, it's here, it's here, wherever you want. And that sounds good. But if they don't know what it means, if they don't have that spiritual depth and grasp of what those scriptures say, what they say is nothing. Meaningless. Sounds good. Looks good. But that's not what God wants. God wants us to know what his message is to us. He wants us to search the scriptures, asking him to bless us as he does through his Holy Spirit, to open up our minds and give us that wisdom to see things that no physical mind by itself can see. Just can't see it. They're blind to the spiritual things of God. So how can we improve our Bible study? How can we approach the Bible study in a positive way without feeling tired and defeated before we begin? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm one of those guys that was in school or even at work when I would take classes and I had to take a test. I just shut down. I don't know. What am I going to do? I know I'm not going to pass it. I can't do this. I don't remember anything. I studied and studied and studied, but I don't remember a thing about this. And so I panic. And I'm afraid. And sometimes that's how I am with the Bible. Wow. When we first started our classes online, some of the instructors, when we first began, loved to give tests. And I'm panicking. I'm glad they couldn't see me. Because they'd see a big ball of sweat sitting there, you know, like, well, how am I going to do this now? They're going to see how stupid I really am. I'll be getting a letter, better yet, I'll be getting a phone call saying, what in the world are you doing there? Because I panic. And then after they gave the test, I would study it, and do it. So far, I passed them all. I'm certainly not the valedictorian, but I panic, and I do that with the Bible. What does that mean? Man, I've read that scripture a dozen times. What does it mean? God, what does it mean? I don't get it. But we have to do that. We have to face that fear. We have to face that idea that we can't figure this out and go to God and say, you know, maybe we can't, but Father, you can. You can do it. And I know that's the only reason I understand anything in this Bible is because you've given me that wisdom, because I certainly don't have it. And you've given it to me. But let's look at a number of things we can do to improve our Bible study. Because we can all improve. Anything we do, we can improve on. And Bible study is certainly one of those things that we can. And remember, we're studying to share. This isn't something we're going to take and we can go sit in a corner and we've got all of that knowledge and we can sit there all by ourselves and, you know, just wait for Christ to return and tell us, good job. We're learning this for a reason, so that we can teach it to other people. so that we can go forward. And when they have questions, what about this? What about that? We've got the answers. And I may not have it, but I can go to any one of you and say, hey, I need it. Help me out here. I need some help. And we can do that, and we can be there to help teach a hurting society that just doesn't know. They don't know. But when things are going bad, when people are hungry, when everything's gone around us and people have nothing left, they're going to be looking for something. They're going to be looking for someone with answers. God's given us the opportunity to be that person that has those answers. But will we have them? Will we be there and be ready? Will we put time into learning what God's message is all about, what the Bible says, what Scripture says? So what the first thing we can do when we study the Bible is keep an open mind. And this is especially what we can share with new people. Keep an open mind. Don't just think everything you've heard is truth. Even now, even though we've been in the church for years, keep an open mind. We know what God's Word is. But we need to understand that we are human beings. We have issues. We have problems we deal with. We have weaknesses. And if we keep an open mind, knowing that God is the one that's helping us to understand this. And we talked about people who are locked into traditions of men instead of what God's Word says. And we must begin our Bible study with the understanding that we just might learn something new. Every time. We just might learn something new. And we've all seen that over the years, as someone we may hear in a sermon or even in a Bible study, there's a scripture or a chapter in the Bible that we never really understood. And then all of a sudden, wow, the light went off and it's clear. Oh, now I get it. Now I see what that meant. And I see how it ties in here and what it really means in the overall picture. We've all experienced that. And we may find something different every time, because it is a learning process, continuing education, God's way. James 1, if you turn there with me. James chapter 1. James 1 and verse 5. James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Ask God. Ask the one who can give us that wisdom. We could all learn that lesson from Solomon. What do you want? He was asked what he wanted. He wanted wisdom. And he got it. And we can approach God the same way and ask God, please help me to have that wisdom so I can help others. Not for myself, so I'm the smartest person in the room, but so that we can help others. Ask, seek, and knock for God's help to understand His Word. So keep an open mind when we Bible study, when we do our Bible study, knowing that we will probably come out of that study and have learned something new, that God would have given us something new knowledge of a particular scripture or chapter that we didn't fully or quite grasp and understand, but God has given us that knowledge to help us to understand that. Another thing we can do is humbly, very humbly on our knees, seek instruction and correction from God. Nobody likes to be corrected. I don't know, unless you're weird and you do like to be corrected, but not many people like to be corrected. But God does that, and we need that. And we need to go to Him asking for instruction. And if I'm wrong, if I'm not seeing this, or if I'm too bullheaded or closed-minded, please correct me. Help me to see what you've given me here. Help me to be able to dissect this scripture, this chapter in the Bible, and figure out what you're saying to me. And do that very humbly. Letting God know, because God knows us inside and out. He knows who we are, what we are. He knows what knowledge we have. And if we go to Him in that way, Father, You know me. You know I need Your help. You know I don't grasp what's being said here. I don't get it. I need You to help me, and You help me through Your Spirit. That's what Scripture tells me. I can't understand this on my own, but I can understand it with the help of Your Holy Spirit. Matthew 5, if you turn there with me. Matthew chapter 5. The Beatitudes here. Very important for us in our Bible study. Very important for us in our spiritual growth. Matthew 5 and in verse 5. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek, or the humble. Those who understand. We've got a lot of growing to do. We have a lot of learning to do. And we can only do that by humbly, meekly going to God, asking Him to help us. And what does it continue on to say? For they shall inherit the earth. Meek, humble. Seeking correction. Seeking help. Seeking the wisdom that only God can give us. 1 Peter, if you turn there with me. 1 Peter. First Peter in chapter 5. This is something that is passed down. But it says here, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Younger people should be wanting to go to older people who are experienced in life, who have been through the trials, who have been through the fire, and ask them, how did you do that? How can I do what you've done? How can I overcome? How can I get through this trial? How can I do this? And we have to be the same way. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So just as we look to our older members, our senior members for advice, more experienced people, we go to God. Who's more experienced in the Bible than God? So we go there and we ask Him for that help. We can't fool God. He knows we need His help. All we have to do is be humble enough to admit it and seek His help. Submit to God, resist the devil, and when we are clothed in humility, we will honor God and our fellow man, and we'll have a good perspective of who we are if we point ourselves in God's direction, humbly seeking Him daily for instruction and correction. The third thing we can do is accept the inspiration of the whole Bible, and we sort of covered that, but 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God. Understanding that all Scripture, we don't pick and choose what's in our favor, but we accept the whole Bible as God's Word. Jesus Christ taught what His Father sent Him here to teach. He brought the message. He didn't change it. He didn't add His 2 cents worth. And He said that many, many times, that He spoke what His Father commanded Him to speak. Psalms 119, if you turn there with me. Psalms 119. Psalms 119. And verse 142. Psalms 119 and verse 142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and Your law is truth. God's Word is righteous, everlasting truth. We go over to verse 160, 119, verse 160. The entirety of Your Word is truth, and every one of Your righteous judgments endures forever. God's word is truth. The entirety of his word, the whole Bible, is God's truth. John 8:33, if you turn back there with me. John 8:33. John chapter 8 and in verse 33. John 8 and verse 33. And they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage." And I'm not sure, I think that's the wrong scripture. I think that's the wrong scripture I wrote down. Yeah, I wanted 32, actually. 32, and Christ talking here, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's what Jesus Christ was talking about, his message. The message he brought to mankind. The message we read here in the pages of the Bible. It's the truth. What else will set us free other than God's word? Other than the message that God has for us? Nothing else will set us free. In John 14, John chapter 14, John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Again, the way, the truth. I am the message that was sent to you from my Father. The truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. He's the way to our salvation. He is the one that's going to greet us as we prepare to enter the kingdom of God. We must believe what he says. We must prove what he says is true. Acts 4. Acts chapter 4, if you turn there with me. Acts chapter 4. All of these religions, all of these religious beliefs around the world, Scripture is very clear if you believe it. Scripture makes it very simple for us if we believe it, if we know what it says, if we searched it, if we understand what it says. Acts 4 and verse 12. The disciples were making it very clear here. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Talking about Jesus Christ. No other name. No other God. Nobody else to worship. Nobody else to forgive your sins. Nobody else to give their life for your life. Nobody else but Jesus Christ. Makes it pretty simple. We don't have to waste our time worrying about if we need to worship another God or need to listen to this person or that person. We listen to Christ. We listen to God. We listen to his inspired word. Simplifies it for us. We don't have to be sidetracked with all this other stuff. We look at God's word. Because there is no other by which we can be saved. No other name, no other person other than Jesus Christ. No one else has that power. Remember what it said? That all power and all authority had been given to Jesus Christ. He has it. He's the only one that does. No one else does. No other religion does. No other God does. Jesus Christ has that. Christ was there through the whole Bible, Old and New Testament. Nothing's changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Nothing's changed. John 1, if you turn there with me. John 1. Again, a very familiar scripture. John 1. And in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." The darkness did not comprehend it. If we accept traditions, if we're not looking for the truth, if we're not seeking to understand God's word, God's truth, if we're not seeking God's help, we can't comprehend who Jesus Christ was. We can't put it together through Scripture that he was the light that was sent from God. to enlighten man about our future. All Scripture is inspired by God. We have to understand that when we do our Bible study. We have to know that this is the Word of God, without a doubt. We don't have to doubt this. We have to go from Scripture to Scripture, proving all things. But the most important thing for us, I think, is to plan study time. Plan study time, which is a very hard thing to do because we're all so busy. We're all so busy. It's difficult to have time for everything. And we have to prioritize our precious time. We have 24 hours in a day to get things done, including getting enough sleep. And if you work full time, you've got to do that. And if you have children, you have to take care of them. You have to help others. You clean house. You prepare meals. You buy groceries. You homeschool your children. When do you have time to study this Bible? Certainly God would understand that. How do we find time to do that? 24 hours a day, I've already filled up 26 hours with just what we have to do. So how do we do that? And the answer to that question is, we don't have time. We don't. We don't have time to study. But we have to make the time to study. We have to prioritize some time. We have to prepare. We have to ready ourselves. We have to educate ourselves. We can't do that if we don't open the book. We can't do it. It's not possible. So we have to make that time someplace. And it was mentioned today, maybe a little time in the morning, a little time at night. Maybe you have to divide it up that way. But we have options. What do we do? How do we study this? Where do we get the time? But we have to make that time. I wonder if Christ, when he came back and we're ready to enter the kingdom, and he says, well, you know, notice you really didn't put a lot of study time in. Well, yeah, but you know how busy I was? You understand that, how busy I was? I just didn't have time. Yeah, but how important was eternal life to you? Was that more important than some other things? We have to answer those questions. How important is our eternal life to us? How important is this classroom on the Sabbath for us? How important is that study time at home to us? We're the only ones that can make it important. No one else can do it. We have to do that ourselves. So we have to put together a plan that allows us some time during that 24-hour day to study God's Word. Somehow, in that 24-hour period that gets away from us every day, we have to find time. Acts 17, if you turn there with me. Acts 17. Acts 17. Acts 17 and in verse 10. Acts 17 and verse 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And what did they find there? When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They were interested in study. They gave that time. They were fair-minded. They wanted to learn. They wanted to know. And they put that time in. They searched the Scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Is it so? Search the Scriptures daily to find out God's truth. 5 minutes a day? 10 minutes a day? Half hour a day? What time can you squeeze in that 24-hour period to do that? But we have to do that. We have to have time. One big help, and it works for some, it doesn't work for others. Another help for Bible study is taking notes. Taking notes. I have a tough time taking notes because if I pay attention to what's being said and take notes, something suffers. I didn't hear what was said, and then when I look down at my notes, I can't read them either because I was trying to concentrate both ways. But some people take great notes. Thankfully, Barb does. I don't know how many times I've went back and dug into her notes to go back and see what was said, what was talked about. But if you're a good listener and you can take it in, that's great. But taking notes is much better if you can do that, because you've got something you can go back and look at, something that may stir. I need to go study this. I know one scripture was read this morning, and one of the men said that stirred him to a Bible study on that particular scripture, just because it just got his attention. Wanted to do a Bible study just to see what it may or may not say. So if we take notes at services and we go back and look at those notes, or notes at Bible studies, or notes on Sunday morning when you're watching Beyond Today or whatever, those opportunities, it gives you a way to go back and look and see, did I miss anything? Did I misunderstand anything? Or is there something here that turned the light on that says, I need to study about this. I'm not sure about this, and I'll go back. So take notes if you can, if that's something you can do, because it's very helpful. And the eighth thing we can do, or the seventh thing, is obey God's word. I'm not sure of my numbers here. The next thing we'll say, obey God's word, proving what is right. We have to obey God. God is certainly not going to help us if we reject his law, if we refuse to obey his law. And we don't do what he says, why would he be there when we ask him to be there? Why would he help us to prove what is right when we've proven what some things are and we know they're right and yet we refuse to do them? Doesn't do us any good. Well, I know the speed limit's 55, but because that's what that sign says, but I'll do 75. Doesn't make any sense. God says don't do this. Don't do that. And if we skirt that issue and we do this or that, or we ride the fence and say, well, you know, God will understand. You know, God will understand. Well, no, he didn't say when he gave us the Ten Commandments, if you want, if it's convenient for you, you know, if this doesn't, you know, upset you, he said, keep the commandments, period. Keep the commandments. So he expects us to obey him. And if we obey him, he's going to be there to help us, to give us that extra understanding, to give us that blessing through his Holy Spirit of knowing what his word says, helping us understand. Sometimes I know we have no idea how blessed we are. We just don't. We just don't. And we should. We are so blessed because of what God has given us. The understanding of his truth, the understanding of his plan, the understanding of our future, understanding who he is. But God expects us to grow in the grace and knowledge of who he is, who Jesus Christ is, what the message is that Christ brought to us. And we can't remain in the same place in our spiritual growth. We can't remain immobile. We have to grow. We must keep moving forward, being fully grounded in God's truth, knowing what that truth is. We do that through Bible study. We do that by pouring ourselves into this book. What does it mean? What does it mean? Ephesians 4, if you turn there with me, Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, and in verse 13, talking about spiritual gifts, but it says here, beginning in verse 13, it says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And do we have the wind blowing out there in the world today? So many doctrines, so many beliefs that everybody's trying to convince other people this is the truth, this is the right way, this is what you should be doing. Tossed around to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. That ought to be sending a red light right up to us by the trickery of men. God will not trick us. Jesus Christ will not trick us, but man will. Man will. So we have to rely on God. We can't rely on man. By the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to do what? To help you? To help you to grow in knowledge? To help you to draw closer to God? Nope. It says they lie in wait to deceive. To deceive, to sidetrack, to get you off of your Bible study. God's word is truth, not man's trickery. We have to learn how to separate those. We only can do that if we study, if we know which is which. None of us may ever be biblical scholars, but God tells us that we should walk in wisdom. His wisdom, spiritual wisdom. Ephesians 5, if you turn there with me. Ephesians 5 and in verse 15. Ephesians 5 and in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand. How do we understand? We understand by studying what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting ourselves to God. Singing psalms, being joyful, rejoicing on God's Sabbath day. Rejoicing that we're here. We're here today. We're nowhere else. We're here in the presence of our Creator God. God says, understand what His will is. How do we do that unless we study the Bible? How do we know what God's will is? Study the Bible. We won't know the will of God unless we study. We won't know what the message that God has for us, for all mankind is, unless we study. We've been given a lot of knowledge over the years. We know more, I'm sure, about God's truth, about the Bible, than we ever thought we would ever know. But it's just a smidgen. It's just a smidgen. And we need to study to prepare for that day when we will be given that test. When someone will come up to us and say, can you help me? I'm confused. I'm lost. I've lost everything. My family's gone. I need help. Who is God? What is God? Where is God? What are we going to say? What do we say? Well, we have that answer. Well, God says we better be prepared to have that answer. That's why we're here. That's why God's called us. That's why He's opened our mind. That's why we're being prepared to teach. We need to study. We need to look into the Bible. And will any of us do it perfectly? Will any of us walk up to Christ in the kingdom and say, you know what, I'm the only scholar, it looks like, among the crew here? Probably not. Probably not. Not in this lifetime. But you know what? God expects us to give it our best, to do our best, and most of all, to seek Him to help us to do our best.